Let the church say amen. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time, God is good. We ought to be in a thankful mood this morning. Look how wonderful God is. On last week, we could barely get in. And this week, we are able to get around and get about with much more freedom and traffic and able to walk the sidewalks once again. We had over a foot of snow and it's almost all gone. Tell me God is not wonderful.
Right.
Nevertheless, we have even more than that to be thankful to Him for. We have our very being to be thankful to Him for.
Amen.
We have all of our living to be thankful to Him for. We have all of our upbringing and upcoming to be thankful for. God is good once again. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses number 22 through 24. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. This morning we want to speak on the end shall come, but first of all, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Father which art in heaven, You have blessed us, O Lord, once again. You have blessed us to be here. You have blessed us with so many things in this life and so many blessings in this life. And we just thank You, O Heavenly Father. We thank You that we are able to come together with other believing Christians, O Lord, that we come for none other than to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning, Father, for giving us Your Son who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may be able to come into the church of Christ. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we appreciate all Your goodness and mercy toward us, all Your grace and all Your love, and especially Your giving of Yourself, or the giving of Your Son to us, Jesus Christ. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for them and their families, and we pray for each and every member in their families, and especially for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. Lord, we thank You. We may not have much to thank You for, O Lord, in our minds, but whatever we have, we thank You for it just the same. We may not have everything we want, but You promised that we would have what we need, and I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for giving us our needs. We thank You this morning, Lord, that we were able to wake up and to see sunshine come our way after a few days of frigid, cold weather. But we know the weather belongs to You, and we know that You can do with it whatever You will. But we thank You nevertheless.
Amen.
Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are here this morning, and we're praying for those who are unable to be here because of illness or sickness, and we just pray that they might be healed, that they may be able to be with us at the next appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
We thank You this morning, Father, and pray for all of those who are traveling today that they may get to their destination safely and securely and be back with us once again. We pray, O Heavenly Father, and thank You for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray for their families, that their families may continue to be strengthened by knowing that What has happened is going to happen to all of us. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the wisdom and the knowledge You gave us and You continue to give us. Thank You for everything You do for us, Father, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask for it all. Amen. This morning, once again, the end shall come. The end shall come. We who are believers, we are who are Christians, believe these words from the subject text this morning to be truthful, and it should be a wake-up or an encouragement call to all of us that are believers.
Mm-hmm.
To those who are not believers or non-believers, it should signal a message of change, a signal that their lives may need a makeover, some new direction, a signal that lets one to know that Jesus is still waiting and still giving them an opportunity to change. As long as we are living, we have the opportunity to change. Christians, on the other hand, can rest assured knowing that as long as they have stayed faithful, that they have the high expectations of receiving the crown of life when life, this life is over, according to James 1 and 12. So let us this morning explore God's Word once again as we look at the Word of God. The end of sin shall come. Sin is not the way the Lord wants His people to live. And somebody may say, well, why not? Sinning seems to be fun to some folk. But that's not the way God wants us to live, because sin is separation from God. According to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2, the Bible says, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Just as Isaiah was letting the people of his day and his time know that it was their own sins that caused God to hide His face from them. Just as today sin can wreck our lives and cause separation from God as well. Sin brought death to mankind according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is a life changer. God loved man enough that He sent His only Son to die while we were yet sinners, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 lets us know that we were not clear yet, but Christ came down, He lived this world, in this world, and He hung, bled, and died for this world. We think about it sometimes when we look at this matter. We think about how dark the world really is. We think about things like child abuse. We think about people lying to one another, people divorcing one another, people hating one another. All of these things, and then on top of that, we got all these different illnesses and sicknesses around us. And some of them are really at an all-time high. They're out of control. Our moral values are at an all-time low. And it doesn't seem like they're getting any better anytime soon. Somebody may ask the question this morning, how do I know if I'm sinning? Well, I'm so glad that question came up in your mind this morning, because James has already answered that question. James has answered that question in James chapter 4 and verse number 17, when he said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is sin. When you think about it, when you were a child growing up, most of us, our parents taught us what they believed to be right and wrong, taught us what to do and how to live our lives. And once you have been taught this, and if they had Bible in there for you, that was even all the more better. But they taught us how to do right and how not to do wrong. And so if you know something to be right, and yet you don't do it, and the Bible tells you that it's right, then you've got a problem on your hand. You're doing wrong, and you're probably sinning. But thank God that one day the end of sin is coming, and we shall be much better off. In verse number 22 of the text, the Bible says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But when you focus on verse number 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. One day all of this is going to come to an end. All this shall end. Thank God that one day, that day, and it doesn't seem like that day is going to be too far away these days. All right. When I think about and I look at what's happening in the world, People are they are insulting God many times. They're insulting God because they want what they want to be right and not what God says is right. So the end shall come. The end of Satan shall come. We are living in dark times, but these too shall come to an end. Many are enslaved by the one in the second book of Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 calls the God of this world. But it's a small g that God is spelled with. A small g. There are some of us who live under the power and directions of Satan. He has worldwide followers. He has called the God, as I say, of this world because he has a multitude of people who are seeking to follow him. He keeps his followers in check by binding their minds with untruth. But one thing that we can be sure of, that his followers will get worse as we come nearer to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound like something you are familiar with these days? It sounds to me like we're getting there. Now, I'm not going to try to predict when the world will come to an end. That's not what I'm up here for. I'm up here to simply tell you what the Word of God says. So I pose this question to you today, and you answer it for yourselves. Are we in better times? Are times getting better, or are they getting worse? Now, I'll answer it on my part. I say that it seems to be getting worse. It seems to be at its lowest and darkest times right now. What I can say to believers today is that if you just let your light keep shining, all is not lost, for there is hope. Christ is not through with us yet. That's why the word must still be preached. His values must still be taught, and his truths must still be shared with others. Amen. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 in the verses number 11 when he was here on this earth. He said, the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. We must still share his message today, lest the devil will capture many others. Revelation gives us hope that one day Satan's days shall come to an end. Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, things are going to get better one day. I wish I could tell you what day, but I can't. I wish I could tell you that things are looking up and that the world is a brighter spot to live in. But it's not. But I still thank God that I'm here living on this earth right now. I still thank God that he has allowed us to still be here. And he has allowed us to have our minds and our hearts and our bodies, and that we can show and teach others about the Word of God. Sometimes our bodies and our minds get twisted up. Sometimes we say to ourselves that I wish that some of these rules and regulations, some of God's words, would be relaxed a little bit, because I think the world has a point. You may not say it in those words, but that's the way you think, some of us. I wish the world would loosen, God's word would be loosened, so I could do a few more things. But God is not simply trying to please you. He's trying to please the whole world, and he's given the whole world what they are to do. He's trying to teach the whole world, not please the whole world, but teach the whole world what we should do and how we should live. So Satan is going to come to an end one day. And you know something, church? I say good riddance to him. I say good riddance to him, because without him, the world would be a much better place today. If we all believed in Jesus, think how wonderful this world would be if we all just trusted and believed in God and followed Jesus, followed the Word of God. I can just think of wonderful thoughts. I can think of wonderful ways and wonderful means that we could show one another love. You know, and I thought about it as I was reading earlier this week, as I was reading the lesson in the Bible class this morning. I thought about what it was, how it was speaking of families bonding. And you know something, church? We're not blood, a lot of us, some of us may not be blood, but we're all still a family right here in this congregation. And we've got to learn to let things go with one another. We've got to learn to forgive one another. We've got to learn to love one another. And most of all, we've got to learn to pray for one another. You know, because I made a mistake many years ago, don't hold it against me forever. Because I caused you some kind of discomfort, don't let it cause you to go to hell. Don't let it cause you to hate me because I'm still your brother and we're still in the family of God. Now, you don't have to come over and sit down and have dinner with me every day. I don't want you eating up all my food anyway. But nevertheless, you can show a little love one to another. You can tell me that, you can tell me something about the Bible that I didn't know. You can teach me something about the Bible that you didn't know, that I didn't know, and then I can in turn teach you something about the Bible that perhaps you didn't know. See, we're all here to learn, and none of us know it all. We just don't know it all. And I say to you this morning that if you want to live a godly life, you've got to keep studying God's Word. And I know you've all have found the same thing that I find. Every time you read the Bible, you'll see something a little different. You'll see something that you didn't catch before. It may be a grammatical mark in there, a comma instead of a period, say for instance. And it may mean you're going from one thought to another, but every time you read God's Word, you'll find a little something in there that may make you have a deeper understanding. And when you get this deeper understanding, you can come and let me know about what you found in the Word of God. And I like that story about that we read about in Bible class this morning about Joseph. I like it because with Joseph, When I look at Joseph, I see a man that had been abused by his brethren, by his brothers. A man that had been left to die by his brothers. But when they all came together later on, he forgave them and he began to show love toward them. He began to let things go. And we've got to learn to let things go, church. Now, I'm not accusing anybody in here of not letting anything go, but I'm simply saying this is what we must do. We must learn to let things go because if we don't let them go, we are going to be held responsible for that in the end. And you know, when I think about that word end, that tells me something. That word end means that something is going to happen to me as well as to you. That something is going to draw to a close. The end means that it's closing. The end means that somewhere along this life that I'm living, it's going to have to come to an end. And no, I'm not afraid of dying because even if I was afraid, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. All I'm saying to you is I'll be more afraid about getting up when the day comes for me to get up. Because I've got to watch how I live in order to get up. I've got to live right in order to get up right. So there's going to also come an end of suffering and sorrow. Many things in this life that can cause us to suffer and bring us to sorrow. But I can tell you two things, church, that will help us through these times or these times of suffering and sorrow. The first thing is God. If you get God on your side, you might do all right. You will do all right. Number two is prayer. Oh, you've got to learn to pray. And when I say learn, I don't mean that you need to take a formal course in praying. I'm simply saying you've got to learn to fall down on your knees sometime and ask God to help you to get through what you're going through. Sorrow and suffering is rampant in this world today. Only God knows what form and what time sorrow and suffering may come to us. I simply said, but they shall come. I like to call them emergencies and storms that come our way. And you know, a storm, it just may blow up at any time. From any direction, a storm may come. Sometimes it's the west wind that blows. Sometimes it's the east wind that blows. And it's the same as a storm in your physical life. I'm not talking about the storms that bring snow and rain and tornado and hurricanes and all of a sudden. I'm talking about the things that disrupts your life. I'm talking about those emergencies, things that you may not be prepared for, things that come along when you least expect them to come along. Oh, I got sick a couple of weeks ago, somebody may say, and I didn't expect to get sick. Well, you never expect to get sick. I don't know of anybody who's expecting to get sick, do you? I just know that sometimes sickness and sorrow and suffering comes our way. For some, it may be saying our final goodbyes to our loved one who has left us from this earth. For some, it may be because of an abusive spouse. For others, it may be because of heartaches brought on by our children. Or it may be because of that illness I spoke of. Whatever it is, God can get us through it. He may not fix it the way you or I think it should be fixed, but He can fix it and allow us to get on with our lives, if that's His will. In Revelation 21, in verse number 4, the Bible says these words, "And God shall wipe away not some, but all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." Oh, it's coming, church. It's coming. Yes, the end shall come when there shall be no more time for us to be saved. No second chance to get right with God. Hebrews 3 and verse number 15 tells us, "Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation." This text tells us that the time is moving on and we need to let God know that we love Him and that we trust in Him. "I'll put my whole life and being and soul in You, O Lord." But nevertheless, the same unbelief that those people had back in the biblical times, some folk have them today. They provoked God back, those Israelites did, when they were in the wilderness. They provoked God, and some of us are still provoking God. They refuse to believe, and there's going to come a time when it will be too late to believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, yes. We don't know how many tomorrows we have left. As a matter of fact, we don't know if we've got a tomorrow left. We don't know how many days in our lives are left. You know, I like to give you that count every so often. The average person the average person may live 25,500 days. Have you counted up where you may be at right now? Time is drawing to a close, and again, I'm not predicting when it'll close, but I'm simply saying it is drawing to a close. I'm simply saying time needs to be moving on. Time needs to be accepted, that fact that time is moving on. And to some, they've got to understand that there are no promises of tomorrow. For anyone you may know, you need to let them know that today is better than tomorrow. We are already here today. We may not be here tomorrow. And when you think about it, yesterday's tomorrow is here right now. Yesterday's tomorrow is today. Today is the right time to commit or even reconnect our lives to Christ. You know, and I'm one who would tell you in a minute that my life hasn't always been a good life. I haven't always obeyed the Lord in everything that I've done. Even after I became a member of the Lord's body, there were times and things that I did that were not pleasing and acceptable to Christ. But you know something? I try to do my best nowadays. I try to live a righteous life. Because you know why? I realize that time is drawing to a close. I realize that I don't have as much time in the future that I have had in the past. I realize that one day the Lord is going to knock on my door and say, it's time for you to come away from this earth, to come off of this earth. I realize that one day God is going to call each and every one of us. Look at verse number 24 again. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. The power rests in Jesus this morning. You need to understand and you need to let somebody else know that the time shall come when you won't have any more time. The end shall come. And when the end comes, you know, it's like watching a movie. When the end is there, if you cannot go back to the front unless you're watching it on a tape or a DVD, you cannot go back to the beginning anymore. The movie is over. So is it will be with our lives. Once it's over and there are no second chances. I've heard it said that some people believe that they can make a deathbed confession. Well, I'll tell you something about that. My belief on that is simple. That's up to the Lord. If you'll accept your deathbed confession. I believe that we ought to get it right while we still can. I believe that God loves us, and I believe that He has proven His love toward us. I believe that God knows us, and He knows what we are capable of doing, and I suggest to you this morning that you get it right with God right now, right today. I suggest to you that there is no better time than this day right now. I suggest to you that you know you're here at this very moment, but you don't know what the next moment can bring. You don't know how many moments you have left. You don't know how many days or weeks or months or years that you may have left. Now, personally, I like to say I got a lot of years left, but I don't know that. I know you probably personally would like to think that you have a lot of years left too. But we don't know that. What we do know is that the end shall come. And when the end comes, there's nothing left for you to do. When the end comes, you can live your life to the fullest right now. You can do the best that you can. And you're still going to serve a just God. You're still going to be put in the hands of a just God. And I thank God this morning that He is just, because He'll give us what He feels we deserve, not what you think I deserve, not what I think you deserve, but He'll give us what He thinks we deserve, or He knows what we deserve. As I said, there's a crown of righteousness if you stay faithful and live throughout this life faithfully. There's a crown of life awaiting for you, or a crown of righteousness, same thing. There's a crown awaiting you to all those who believe and serve in the Lord. So this morning I ask the question again. If you have not been serving the Lord, you need to connect with Him. If you have been serving the Lord, but you went astray, you need to come back and reconnect with Him. How do I connect with Him for the very first time? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Yes, the water may be a little bit chilly, but it'll be going to a hot hell. A cold water, cold dip will be going to a hot hell. And if you have connected with Him, but you need to reconnect, ask the Lord to forgive you. Come forward. Ask the church to pray for you. God is a good God. God is a good God because He gave us this opportunity. And you don't know if you'll get this another opportunity. So I ask you today, if that's your desire, to please come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 3.